Welcome to Get in the Herd, a podcast about addiction and recovery brought to you by the McShin Foundation. If you or a loved one are looking for real discussions about addiction, recovery, stigma, advocacy, and most importantly, hope, then stick around. Thanks for joining us. Now sit back and get ready for another great episode of Get in the Herd.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the McShin Foundation's award-winning recovery podcast, Get in the Herd. I'm your host, Justin Bognar, and with me is Tom Jackson. What is it? You have 30-plus years of recovery?
30 in a few months.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
Scary.
We're just kind of throwing a show together. You know, we don't really have any specific content, but a lot of times that's what makes the shows the best, is when we can just have a free-flowing conversation. We've got a couple of things that we kind of wanted to update y'all with since we're coming into the new year. Thanks for tuning in. And Tom.
Justin.
You had some New Year's resolution stuff that you had mentioned.
I do, and maybe before we get to that, there's an interesting opioid litigation judgment that just hit the news about 20 minutes ago from New York State, where Teva Pharmaceuticals, which is a generic pharmaceutical manufacturer, a bunch of its subsidiaries, after a massive six-month trial, were found guilty for their portion of manufacturing and distributing opioids that were at the beginning of the opioid epidemic. And interestingly enough,
Does it say specifically
the dollar amount?
No. Or you said they synthesized, or
they manufactured,
okay,
and distributed, and so there were separate penalties for both.
Okay.
There's three major drug distributors, manufacturing distributors already have settled for $1 billion with New York State.
Ooh.
And the amount for this has not yet been settled. This was just the guilt part, the liability part of the trial. But the sort of breaking news part of it is the state of New York was also held liable for its contribution to the distribution of opioids.
Okay.
And so it's the first governmental entity that has been held responsible for any part of the opioid epidemic.
I feel like that's a big step in the right direction.
It is. It's a big step.
Yeah.
The article I'm reading from the New York Times is, you know, literally the breaking news. There'll be more information.
Yeah.
Later, there's some really just almost scary stuff about some sales videos that the company itself did, spoofing Austin Powers, spoofing A Few Good Men, talking about quotas for the sales representatives. There's a quote that says, "You can't handle the truth. Quotas have to be exceeded." they told the sales force, and so on. So some of the stuff they did from a sales standpoint was pretty scary. But but the most interesting part is that the state was also held partially liable for its contribution. So more will be revealed once, you know, once there's another, you know, article or two.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting because it literally just happened. It's kind of a nice New Year's present.
Yeah.
to see that, that litigation is succeeding in holding manufacturers, distributors, and so on, responsible for their share of the epidemic.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that, you know, that New York City itself was being even.
That they were being sued too.
That they were being sued too, being considered whatever, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The state, and it was the state that was.
The state.
Yeah. That was held liable. So.
Okay.
So since this is the closing show of the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No more shows until 2022.
Some good news to end the year on.
Yeah, there we go.
Considering this has been the year from hell. although yes. I think we thought 2020 was the year from hell, and then,
you know,
2021 decided it was going to be competition.
And that's what makes me scared about 2022. Like, what's 2022 going to bring? But I'm remaining hopeful. I'm remaining positive.
I am too. And I think somebody put a meme up on Facebook that said something like, you know, approach 2022 very cautiously, very quietly.
Yeah.
Don't scare it.
Don't scare it. Yeah.
Don't scare it. Don't make it scream. Out. Don't freak it out.
Yeah.
And let's approach it very cautiously.
Yeah. Just
and see what happens. So.
2022, how we doing? You okay? Everything
we'll
good?
See.
You feeling okay right now?
Right. waiting in the wings. Yeah. I'm not even sure I want to see the ball drop or any balloons drop. You know, let's just sort of very quietly approach it. You know, although there's going to be a bunch of people in Times Square, at least they all have to be vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, we've had some things that have been out of our control. But I think, you know, for the most part, as a society, we've really focused on the negative. We've really focused because it's been out in the open. It's been out in front. You know, it's been the only thing that we've been able to really look at and really see. But I think when we think about it on like a personal level, like me, for instance, 2021, aside from the big pandemic and all that, like, it was a pretty damn good year, you know? Like, I got clean this year, you know?
Congratulations.
And I'm 10 and a half months right now, you know? 2021 is kind of when I got my life back. 2021 is, you know, when I found, you know, this thing that I'm doing at McShin that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
You know, 2021 is when I was able to rebuild my relationship. You know, 2021 is when I repaired the relationship with my parents, you know, like 2021's not been terrible. It's been bad from I don't want to say a pandemic standpoint, because of course it has, but like, yeah, that's been a pretty severe bad mark. But also think about like the there were some positives that came out of the pandemic.
I think you raise a really great point, because in one way to kind of frame that maybe might be, if we look inside and we look at our personal relationships, maybe in some ways those even became stronger.
Yes.
Even while we were being sort of this constant assault from the world.
Yeah.
And I know I watch the news too much.
Oh, I watch the news all the time.
And, you know, I've stopped watching the news on TV. I just kind of watch, you know, I read the paper and
I listen to podcasts
and listen to podcasts. Yeah. And definitely stay away from cable news.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it really is. It's not news among other things, but
right.
even on the channel I like, it's,
yeah.
you know, it's yeah. not news. And so, yeah, there's all this stuff going on in the world. COVID news changes weekly. Yeah. And if there's a couple of scientists I follow, their blogs and so on. And, you know, what the CDC says is not necessarily the most current science.
Right.
Because they're right. balancing science, money, the economy, and all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not always the best science.
Yeah.
So just trying to roll with that, among other things.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, relationships, I think, you know, I've been very fortunate. I think you have too, where we've been able to go to work. You know, the work that we do can't be done remotely, both of us.
Right.
And so I've had that social outlet and seeing people every day. And I think in some ways I've become a lot closer with some of my coworkers because of that. And I've developed some new relationships and deepened some other ones mm-hmm. Over the course of the last year, because to some degree we were each other's lifelines.
Right.
We were, you know, it was easier to walk down the hall than it was to, you know, get somebody on the phone, get somebody on Zoom.
Right. Who, right.
for contagion reasons, I wasn't able to see. Or, you know, I have friends that we would get together outside only. Well, if it was raining or it was 100 degrees out, we weren't going to get together. But I could walk down the hall and knock on one of my coworkers' doors
right,
and
right.
say, hey, let's talk.
Mm-hmm. You know, what? And one of the things that I think people don't really... I don't know if they don't take it into account or they don't really want to necessarily think about. Now, this is my personal opinion. It was kind of nice having the world shut down for a little bit. It was. And I say that because, like, our lives are crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the human condition, the human existence, like, especially in the society that we've created, is so insane. I mean, you know, just the amount of things that we have to do, our responsibilities and the stores and the driving and the gas and the money and the just all of it, you know, it gets overwhelming. And for something to come along and just say, all right, stop, that's it,
mm-hmm.
and shut everything down. And that way you're kind of forced to be with yourself, you know, you're forced to focus on things that you don't normally get a chance to focus on. You know, everybody's talking about how quarantine is so awful. And yeah, for the amount of time that we were quarantined, yeah, it got pretty bad.
Yeah,
we got bored, you know, especially for, you know, people suffering with substance use disorder, mm-hmm. you know, that's, I know that for me, that was one of the biggest triggers is boredom.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Just sitting there doing nothing, twiddling your thumbs, constantly wanting to use constant, yep. you know, it's always there. And use I did. You
yeah,
know,
absolutely. I did. That was one of my main triggers was boredom.
But, you know, one of the things that I know for me that, you know, made me, I don't want to necessarily say focus on it because I don't think I was focused on it at the time. But it forced us to slow down, you know, and to take a little bit of time, and we had to be around each other, you know, and we had to get to know each other, and we had to get to know ourselves. And, you know, we had to do things like sit around and watch movies as a family. And I don't think enough value is placed on that in general, you know, because I know that, you know, after a day of work, you know, I wake up at 5, I'm at the gym by 6, I have a good workout, then I come home and I take a shower and eat my breakfast. And, you know, yeah, my girlfriend's there and we're talking, we're hanging out, but we're not really spending quality time together. It's just,
yeah, quick breakfast, let's get to work.
Let's do this.
Got to get to work, got to do this.
And then bye, honey, love you, I'll see you later on.
Right.
You know, whatever. And then off to work. And then some text throughout the day. Okay, I love you. I'm thinking about you, that type thing. And then it's, you come home and you get home and both of us are just like, oh, so tired. All right, what are we going to do for dinner? You know, we got to pick up Abby tonight and this, that. And it's just, it's constant. Yeah. It's a constant.
It's a treadmill
thing. It is. And it's go to bed, wake up, do the same thing. Go to bed, wake up, do the same thing.
Right.
And that's, you know, that when the world shut down, like we didn't, it wasn't, we kind of got to get off that treadmill for a little bit, you know? And, I don't know. Like looking back, like I really, now I can appreciate the value in that, mm-hmm. you know? And honestly, if I had it to do all over again, of course I wouldn't wish another pandemic.
No, on I hope society, not.
But the whole, you know,
careful what you wish for.
Yeah, right. But the whole, you know, getting off the treadmill and just having everything shut down for a little bit. You know, I would do that again for a couple of weeks.
I think it did put into perspective what sort of, you know, hamster wheel we were running on.
Yeah.
And how many of the things that I did, again, you talk about boredom, you know, oh, I need to go to the grocery store because I'm bored.
Yeah.
You know, what else am I going to do? I don't want to sit there or, you know, I would end up watching, you know, junk on TV or reading junk or whatever, instead of going, wait a minute, you know, let me look at my time and how am I going to use it mm-hmm. and how, and if I'm not finding the same amount of meaning in my contact with the outside world, because I have a lot less contact with the outside world, how can I find more meaning inside my own life?
Right.
And whether that was doing some more mindfulness stuff, reading more nourishing and nurturing things. At the same time, valuing my entertainment too. I fell in love with Ted Lasso, for example, you know, which there was a level of, you know, sort of comic silliness to it that I needed. But you know, those were 30 or 40 minute episodes. I wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't spending hours watching junk. And you know, the first time I went to a movie was a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, I almost cried. It was like, cause I love going to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just such a, you know, I went and saw, I can't remember what I saw 2 months ago. And then I went and saw West Side Story.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I'm in a movie theater, and they had done physical distancing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was nobody right here and there was nobody right there and stuff, but I got to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And that was just before we started getting more and more of Omicron news.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would go right now. Although at least N95s are in plentiful supply.
Right.
So I can park one of those on my face. And feel more comfortable about going out.
But
all of the useless trips I used to make, you know, I'd go to the grocery store and just kind of wander around. I'd go to Target and wander around and buy stuff I didn't really need and didn't even have room for sometimes. But and I still find myself, you know, I'll putter on the computer doing things I don't really need to do,
mm-hmm.
And so on. But yeah, I think, you know, I think it kind of pointed out that, you know, our lives evolutionarily, our brains haven't adapted to, you know, our brains are still running, you know, around bonfires in villages and we're running at the speed of fiber optics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been nice to have that sort of adjustment time
to kind of
slow things down.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like you know, there's only so much of The Office you can watch on repeat before it's just like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
But no, I was just, you know, I don't know, that bonding, you know, opportunity that I had, like I said, not just with, you know, other people in the household, but with myself also,
mm-hmm.
But
I think we did look within more.
Yeah,
I think we definitely looked within more. And you know, and I have a number of friends who are you know, 9.5 out of 10 on the scale of introversion. And of mm-hmm. course, for them, it was delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Because they finally had justification to do what they wanted to do all along. But the world would not always let them get away with.
Right.
But even some of my more introverted friends went, this is a little more introversion than I really bargained for.
I haven't been outside in 2 weeks. I don't.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Even the mailbox is a challenge.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Although, you know, a friend of mine who's the social media director for a treatment center put a thing up that a number of other people have copied since of, you know, what am I going to put on to wear to my living room tomorrow night for New Year's Eve? And you know, what pair of PJs am I going to wear?
Right.
for New Year's Eve. And I, you know, not that I think I've made it till midnight on New Year's Eve in many, many years. And I never went out. I mean, my bad joke is that New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day were always amateur nights. That,
right.
You know, amateurs were out drinking and partying, and I was a professional. I was a professional, and I did not want to be crowded out by these people who were throwing up on my shoes.
Right.
And so I almost never went out. And now, of course, if I make it to 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve, I'm lucky.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
now the only reason that I would have any desire to stay up until midnight is I would want to give my girlfriend a kiss.
Okay.
That's really it.
A very lovable thing to want to do.
Yeah. Well, it's always been the thing, you know, you give your significant other a kiss on, you know, as soon as the clock strikes 12 and all that.
I'd take a nap at 10 and set the alarm for 5.
All right, honey, wake up.
Yeah, right.
All right. Back to bed.
Right. Yep.
But no, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about being in a relationship with someone who supports your recovery is she quit doing everything too. You know, she doesn't suffer from substance use disorder or anything like that, but you know, she liked to party. She liked to drink. Mm-hmm. She liked to smoke weed, that type thing. And you know, when I started, going down this road, you know, she was like, well, look, I want you in my life and you're way more important than any of that stuff is.
Do you understand? So, I still don't sometimes understand people like that.
I don't either.
I don't. I really don't
either.
I don't get it. I've seen, you know, I have friends for, you know, I've had 40 plus year longstanding friends who drink like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I still don't get it. You know, I have a friend who oftentimes will have a half a white wine spritzer. You know, so it's already diet white wine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then to just drink half of it. I'm sorry, my brain just does not understand that.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing about me. And you know, I'm sure you get it too. Like everything I do to excess.
Yeah.
You know, everything. I'm not just gonna smoke a little bit of weed. I'm gonna smoke the whole fucking bag. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not just gonna drink a little bit. I'm gonna drink until I don't remember my own name.
Mm-hmm. Or at least until the bottle's empty. You know,
well, that, I mean, when the bottle's empty, that doesn't mean the drinking's done.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, with smoking meth, I mean, it was just like I'm gonna continue smoking until I go into a psychosis. Mm-hmm. You know. but it's, yeah, I don't, you know, she's just like, you know, yeah, just a little toke here and there. No, nothing, mm-hmm. nothing crazy. Oh, I don't want to get too high.
Too high. Oh. I don't, that concept. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can't compute that. Okay. Too all right. High. Well, you do you. I'm going to go get blasted.
Right. And I'll see you in 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll see you in 3 days. Yeah.
Don't call me. I'll call you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to get too high. Like,
what?
Okay. Well,
there are aliens that among us.
But no, like I said, she just gave all of it up. You know, and we're both clean, you know.
Yeah.
And our relationship has gotten surprisingly a lot more strong, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine
what
that.
What a surprise. Imagine that. Reality.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, like, so every Friday night, that's like me and her, that's like our night.
Mm-hmm.
Because her daughter goes over to her father's house, you know, for Friday night and comes back later on Saturday evening. So when we first got together, you know, I was definitely in the throes of active addiction. And every Friday night we would get a couple of bottles and just go to town, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, of course we would have fun. But we were both hammered drunk, you know, we would have conversations, but would they really be conversations right. or would they be drunk conversations?
Drunk whatevers.
Yeah.
And did you remember them the next day?
Barely.
Right.
Barely. You know, and she would always have to go to work the next day. So, you know, it was waking up just like, oh, what have I done? You know, like, yeah. And now, we actually go out on dates.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
We go out to dinner a lot. We live in Henrico, so there's not a whole lot to do, you know. But
isn't it nice the quality of food you can get when you don't spend half of the bill on wine?
Yeah.
You know, I got to go to all kinds of wonderful restaurants when I first got sober because I wasn't spending half of the bill on wine
or more.
I mean, yeah. we used to joke about it that, you know, the sign of a good meal was that we spent twice on wine what we did on food.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then all of a sudden you can go to some really nice places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Uh-oh.
it's this weather, man.
Like, it is.
This overcast weather just makes me like, you know. I tell you what, though, one of our favorite places used to be Sushi King on Broad Street. And I have to say, I'm a little bit disappointed in Sushi King right now. We went there yesterday we both have Wednesdays off.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there yesterday for lunch. And I got two rolls that were fried. I forget what they call them. But it was just all rice. And like, I opened it up because I wanted to like, look at the actual fish that was in there, and it was just like little tiny,
weird
little yeah. And I was like the waiter came over, and normally I'm not one to speak up, you know, if something's messed up, all right, whatever, I'll deal with it, it's not the waiter's problem, they didn't do it.
That's pretty messed up though.
But yeah, and I was just like, I was like, baby, would you think less of me if I said something? She was like, no, she was like, this is one of our favorite places and they need to know, like,
yeah,
you know, if they're, you know, and I get it. Everybody's cutting back and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you still got to uphold some sort of standard.
Right.
And I said to the waiter, I was very nice, you know, because I've been a waiter before. I've worked mm-hmm. in the restaurant industry, that whole thing. So I was just like, look, man, I know you didn't make these rolls, but I got to bring this to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right. He was like, I'll get the manager. And I was like, if you want to do that, that's up to you. I was like, I'm just basically letting you know it's not going to affect your tip or anything yeah. like that. Like, you know, I just want to bring this to your attention because this is one of our favorite spots to come.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're a good customer.
Yeah. And we've been coming here for years. So he walks away. About 20 minutes later, he comes and brings a check to us. No manager, no nothing, no mention of it. And I was just like, damn, you know, like, I was really hoping, and you know, like I wasn't like, I need to speak to the manager right now. This is BS, you know, like, but it was like, man, like that's kind of a bummer. And I don't know why I decided to tell that story to you. I just did.
Well, they're
but
short.
That's, Yeah, I mean, just
you're sad. I mean, yeah, there's, it was there's a kind of sadness to it.
It was a bummer.
One of your favorite places isn't so favorite anymore.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. Like, I'm really gonna think twice about going back there.
Yeah,
it was just like, I don't want to pay for deep fried white rice.
Yeah,
like it's not too good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A while ago, I write phenomenal complaint letters. I'd offer to write one for you if you want. Once upon a time, I even thought about starting a business of, you know, if you have a dispute with somebody, here, I'll write your complaint letter for you. But they often get listened to because nobody writes letters anymore.
Right, right.
But, you know, if you write a letter and put it in, sign it and put it in an envelope. Everybody gives reviews. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody just goes on Yelp and trashes a place. You know, that sort of old school stuff still does work.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You can always write them a letter and just say, hey, you know, I'm really sad about my experience. A friend of mine, I live in the Shenandoah Valley, and a friend of mine went to a very well-known seafood restaurant. And in the middle, her swordfish was frozen solid in the middle.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
And
this like an upscale place?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the response from the staff was like, well, what do you want us to do?
Finish cooking it?
Maybe finish cooking it. That would be a start, you know.
Finish
cooking it. Maybe next time thaw it first.
Damn, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a cheap place.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and of course people will say, well, you know, we haven't been able to retain our staff. We have somebody who's brand new and so on. Well, even if you have somebody who's brand new, you still need to supervise them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And using the pandemic for, you know, excusing lousy product quality and lousy service, I think is just kind of taking advantage of people.
It is. It is
people's loyalty to a place and so on.
All right. So I have to break out the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Okay. Now what do we do when that happens?
Nothing.
Okay.
Just let it happen.
Okay. I thought it was great. I was worried about the fan noise though.
Well, the fan's a little bit noisy, but
yeah, we'll just talk louder.
It's worth it.
Okay.
I don't think you can hear the fan too much.
I think that's great. I think, you know what? I think that's an appropriate wave goodbye to 2021. Don't you think?
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I can't think of any better wave to 2021 except with the potential whatever of an extended middle finger.
Yeah.
But but I'm not sure I want to risk that. It's how many hours do we have to go before the year is over? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's the 30th.
It's
today?
The 30th at
3:45.
Yeah, 3:48. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go in a minute.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So yeah. Well, that's all for activation.
Well, that's actually a great way to thank you for a great chat.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
So we never even got to the thing on New Year's resolutions.
Never even got to the New Year's resolutions, but it's all right.
There is a great blog post if you go to Hazelden Betty Ford. Or Google Hazelden Betty Ford New Year's resolutions. It's from December 9th, and there's a great article that says 6 lessons to make change stick.
Okay.
And it's written with a great sense of humor. The opening paragraph goes, every year the holidays roll around and we hear an acquaintance humble brag about their goals for the coming year. They plan to transcend into sainthood. Drink all natural smoothies made from lawn clippings and foraged berries and add 50 pounds of pure muscle. They look happy and confident and seem excited by their lofty goals. And that's a recipe for failure. So, whoop.
There it is.
It really is time.
Yeah.
I have a Zoom call in in 10 minutes. So sorry about the alarm.
No, it's all right. Well, listen, thanks for helping me throw a show together today. Hey, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for asking me to help you throw a show together. This is my third episode. And
third episode.
Yeah.
I've lost count of how many I've done. But come the new year, we have a totally different format that we're doing.
That's great. Looking forward to seeing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're going to have some more professional looking shows. And we're going to be releasing everything at 2 o'clock on Thursdays, everything that we've done throughout the week. So,
oh, great.
Look forward to that. Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Happy 2021, everyone. Hope it was not nearly as bad as it could have been. Could have been a lot worse. And I hope everybody has a wonderful new year.
And may we quietly approach.
Maybe quietly approach 2022.
Let's tiptoe up on 2022.
Tiptoe. Very quietly. All right. Thanks, y'all.
Honesty Liller. I am the CEO of the McShin Foundation and a woman in long-term recovery. Since May 27, 2007, I have not used drugs or alcohol. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much to the Richmond Times-Dispatch and all of our voters for getting the Herd podcast. Those podcasts are amazing. Not only has it helped thousands upon thousands of people in their recovery, as well as family members, but it has helped me in my personal recovery. I get to listen to them now in my car through Spotify and iHeartRadio. And it's just really, really important for us to be innovative in the addiction field and the recovery community. So when COVID hit, we had to be innovative. You know, we really had to think of like, what can we do to reach people that cannot go to 12-step meetings? Smart recovery, faith-based, whatever, that we're shutting down constantly. So we were innovative here at McShin. Let's start podcast. So with Todd, John, Alex, and some other staff, you know, we all just kind of jumped in who can do what. And with Todd's lead and John's lead, the podcasts have been amazing and we're still doing them today. So I want to thank you for all of your votes and all of your energy and all of your support of our mission of healing families and saving lives. Thanks.